Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I didn't think you were going to get dressed in front of me. I got to be honest. I thought you already came dressed.
I did not foresee that that was going to be dressed. Quite the ordeal it was. Hey, pal. Thank you. I know you stayed over.
I did. No, I started the whole thing for you.
You're so funny.
No, I'm not making this. I have huge feet, by the way. So I started this whole thing because of you. This is why I'm here.
It's so funny. The message you left me the other day.
What did I say?
Today's Wednesday, and it was like Tuesday, and you were like, I know this is like the wedding. We're not supposed to talk to each other
the night before. That's right. Yeah, see, right. Sexy.
Wow, you've been in Vegas a long time.
Yeah, I really have.
But see, to me, that's so impressive. Because, like, when did you start at the Luxor?
18 years ago.
18 years. An 18-year residency in Vegas.
Yeah. See, Penn and Teller, I think, have gone longer, but the only one talks, right? You can't count the one guy. He didn't say anything. So Penn really is doing all the work.
See, I can abide by people who, like, do the Carrot Top.
And by the way, I'm very offended if you smoke in front of me.
People who do, like, the Carrot Top jokes. I mean, we've all done Carrot Top jokes, but and I always tell them. I'll tell anyone who does one, I'll say, yeah, but he's actually a very funny guy. You know, if they're like slapping it. But what I cannot take is people who just don't give it up for success. Maybe it's not your cup of tea or you want to be a snob, even though I've seen your show and I laugh my ass off. So, like, I'm a bright guy. So it doesn't, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm too smart for that show. You're not. It's just funny. It's using props, but it's also funny. But, like, I cannot abide people who just will not give it up for success.
Yeah.
You know?
I like what you said a second ago, though, is that you said, okay, I might make a character, but he's funny. See, what I used to get was, he's a nice guy. So my cousin went and saw...
Wait.
You know, and you said, but he's funny.
Yeah.
So he's a nice guy. So they wouldn't say he's funny. They wouldn't admit that I was funny, but they would say, they'd say he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
So that was, instead of saying, no, but he's funny, which would make me happy if they say he's a nice guy. But nice guy is, you always want to be a nice guy, but you also want, of course, your peers to think
you're
funny.
I mean, 18 years in the main room at a major hotel in Vegas. I just can't think of any other comic who's done that. I mean, certainly magicians, for whatever reason in Vegas. Well, I know what reason. They attract every Yahoo in the country, and that's like what they love is magic. Comics, many comics, right. Myself included, hate magic because we think it's cheap and it's like we're trying to be clever, and they're like, oh, you bought that at a novelty shop.
Right.
And I did a trick with a team once. It's like I won't say who it was. I love them, but... it was called Rock Blood from a Rock. That was the name of the trick. And they had a rock out of which they made blood come out of it. Possibly that's where the name of the trick came from.
Nice.
Anyway, like when you, as the shill in the audience, I was planted, of course. Like, oh, this celebrity is going to come out of the audience.
Crazy. How did Bill Maher?
Exactly. Weird. Like when you saw it up close, it was not impressive.
Yeah, no.
Like I get it from the 12th row.
Right.
Just the way, like, our set, a real-time set, is the same set they use for Price is Right, or at least it has been for many years. And sometimes people come in, and when they see the Price is Right set up close, they're rather crestfallen because it just looks...
like shit.
Well, yeah. On TV...
Right. It's like, yeah, it's priceless.
It looks great, and up close, it looks like a leopard's asshole. Yeah, yeah, not that bad, but not good.
I love this. I was at your home, or at one of these homes.
Did I know
you own like all? You own like he owns like 20 homes along here.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. The whole mountain.
No, I don't.
They told me that on the way here.
You're thinking of Bob Hope.
No, maybe okay. Bob Hope. But you own all these homes.
I don't.
So I was here at one of them, and this is so many years ago, and I don't know how I don't know how I got invited, but you invited me.
I'm sure I did.
Everyone in the world was there with a sweep. Everyone was here.
That was probably 2004 or 5.
Yes.
Yes.
I had been doing the Tonight Show with Jay many.
Yes.
Jay will be here a minute doing a setup here.
Jay was right there. And we talked.
And I had left your house and I'd going down the hill. And as I'm going down the hill, Florence Henderson. You can't make this up.
Florence?
No, she was there at your house. You did invite her, right?
I remember.
Yes.
I love her.
So Florence Henderson is coming.
Is she dead?
I think so now.
Cross her off the list.
I didn't see her in the driveway
she
walking
not getting
up
another stuff. Invite. Okay.
Yeah. But I walked down and my best friend was with me and she says, hi, Carrot Top, right? And so I said, hi. And then she hands her drink. This is the best part ever. To this day, we still talk about this to my friend and I. She's like, it's Carrot Top. And she hands her drink to my friend and starts talking to me. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, he just works at the property or works for you. And he just stood there and held her drink. And I said, just keep holding your fucking drink. Oh, you're invited to this party. But then Jay Leno, you know, hobbles
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Florence Henderson's over here.
But how does he make it up the hill? He's like, he's my third motorcycle accident. I can't
yeah,
do
that. What? Yeah, I mean, Jay, are you kidding? Jay could fall into a wood chipper and be in 1,000 pieces, and he'd put himself back together in a day, and he'd be on Entertainment
Tonight. Yeah, he does.
Right. I fell into the wood chipper. It's no big thing. My penis is up in my brain now. But, you know, that's kind of a good thing.
It's so true. He was on the next day, right, after his motorcycle accident.
I just routinely now always call him Iron Jay. You know, he used to do that character, Iron Jay.
Yeah, yes.
But he is Iron Jay. You cannot.
He doesn't miss a gig.
He doesn't miss sleep. He doesn't need sleep.
No.
He doesn't miss a gig. You can't. He's like the what's the character in the Halloween or whatever where they can't kill him? Is it Jason? Yeah.
You're right. I mean, you talk to him, as you know, you've been friends with him. I've been friends with him for as long as you probably. But when you see him, if I go say hi like I did to you, I go by to say hi, and he'll say the same exact three questions. First thing he says, oh, why are they going again? I say, good. And he's like, have you seen any other comics? And I go, there's no comics in Vegas anymore, right? You see any comic? How's George Wallace? I said, George Wallace is done. And he's like, so how big is your, he always says three things. How big is your room? And I always say the same thing. It's a dumb joke. I said, oh, like, you know, 3,000. He's like, 3,000, that's big. And I said, no, it's 300. But he always says that, and every time I see 3,000, he says, oh yeah, 3,000, that's big. And I said, no, Jay, it's 300. But it's great watching, and he'll eat a steak and just, you know, and talk to you, and he doesn't give a shit. Where's my denim? He eats denim, by the way. He eats denim, like chunks of denim.
You know. Does that.
He does.
It always bugs me that the Jimmy Kimmel and Conan O'Brien have this huge hard on for him, and I respect.
Did or do you think they still do?
Oh, I think Conan more than Jimmy.
Well, Conan maybe.
Jimmy, you know, it's very hard to see. That's the thing. They're both people I admire and like so much, and I love Jay. And I just, are they really seeing something? And I'm sure, certainly, one or both of them at this. Yeah, I think they still would both say. Yes, we are seeing a Machiavelli inside, and Jay is Italian. Yeah. He did hide in the closet, but it didn't seem like to me he ever crossed the line. It seemed like he won.
Yeah,
is not a beanbag here. This is show business. We're all, you know, we all want to be on top. I don't.
Do you really? Or
I don't.
Are you top?
What?
No. We always want to be on top.
Well.
Jay had a great...
either on top or on the top of your game.
Top, right.
Sometimes, you know, you can only be appealed to the whatever, we're such a niche audience everywhere now.
Yeah.
That if you have, you know, back in the day, Johnny Carson used to get like 17 million. At 11:30 at night, I think it is. Yeah. 17 million.
And now it's...
Primetime shows sometimes don't get a million.
A million, yeah. True.
It's just... Everybody has their own personal, in the future, everyone
Jay was always nice to me.
You'll have your own personal comedian.
Like you. You'll
be an AI.
Nice yeah.
And it'll just be you telling you jokes, and you know you'll love them because it's you.
And, you know, it's interesting because when I did the show all those years, it was, they would call, or I'd call them and say, I have a set, you know, whatever I was current, whatever topical thing was out, whether it's Trump or Barbie, whatever the fuck's current. And I would say, I have a set, put me on. And they would always put me on. And then I would talk to Jay after, and he said, you know, all these comics, they come to me in the airport in these places, which is where he flies private, so I'm always talking to people in the airports. But,
right.
But he would say, they give me grief because I book you. And I said, and he would always defend me and say, because I would bring the goods and I would always have the thing. I never tried to be anything I wasn't. I wasn't trying to take sets away from monologist.
Right.
I just did my thing.
Yeah. You don't have to apologize.
He has and Jay, there's still jokes to this day. I still remember Jay's jokes. I try.
Oh, Jay.
No, Jay, when he says, you know, there was never a gay Italian. Remember his aunt? There was never a gay Italian Jay. And he said, what about Leprosy? Oh, it's just talk. But it's still funny. Like, it's still funny.
It's just talk. Yeah.
One of the best ones ever. What's the girl's?
You don't have to apologize for pictures. You know, I use tons of pictures in my editorials at the end of Real Time, which is the, you know, sort of the most serious part of the show. It's the end of the show. It's something I'm saying that's, you know, besides the laughs, I'm always making a point. Usually one no one else is making. That's my goal.
It's brilliant.
So, thank you. I'm not efficient for that. I'm just saying, we use plenty of pictures.
Right.
You know, there's lots of things that end, and it wouldn't have been this guy, picture comes up.
Right,
and that punctuates it. I don't apologize for that. I mean, I'm glad at this point in the illiteracy standings of America, it's not all pictures and props.
Sure. My show's easy to follow along. It is. It's like show and tell with liquor. It really is. If you can't get my show, you're fucking
that's a scream.
Stupid. It's true. It's
just, no, and the other thing,
visuals,
I mean, speaking of...
I've helped them along. I'm like, look, it's Joe Biden's dog. It's a dinosaur and a fucking rope. It can't be any easier. It can't be any easier.
Because he's old.
Yeah.
See, that's...
Have you seen Joe Biden's dog?
That's so interesting.
And then I have a classified document that has magnets on the bottom that picks it up at the end. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It is. And you know why?
They love it.
I'm a little jealous because, like, I don't do Joe Biden... old jokes, because one...
That's the one I do, though. I do one Trump, and I do one Biden.
Works great as a prop.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah,
the diner, does. I love that joke.
And it's silly, and no one gets offended.
Right.
And the same with the Trump, and I do a thing, which is sad, weirdly, to bring this up with Pee-wee. I said, if you look at Trump's moves, it's Pee-wee Herman. And if you look, I do a thing on the video behind me where he's doing, and if you put them side by side, it's Trump doing Pee-wee or Pee-wee doing Trump. So he does the ooh doo doo, and it kills. And now that Pee-wee just passed, it's going to be probably even more beautiful for the show. But that is it was just one night I'm sitting like, what is Trump's Pee-wee? It's a doo 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 doo. So yeah, that's funny. And no one gets offended because it's
that's the thing.
It's quick. And they do get offended. We move on to, you know, something different.
America does need more things that can get people from both sides of the political divide to sit together and enjoy something in common.
We should bring them all in here. There's one, two. There's only two spots left open.
No, I don't want.
Get your tickets now because
too many people in here. This is a cozy space, but you wouldn't want a big party.
No. This is it.
I love being here with people like you, but...
do you come in here sometimes by yourself?
Oh, I party.
By yourself, though.
By myself? No.
Yeah. No,
I would never...
You sit here tonight, you know?
Why would sit I come by myself?
You just sit like, okay, action.
No.
You just pretend like, no? This is the best guest I've ever had.
But... I mean, we use this room as the party room for...
This is where Florence Henderson and I did rails right off this... you think I'm kidding?
No, but that's so funny. You're reminding me of just an era in my life, which was the politically incorrect era.
That's when you... Fine. You know how we met?
And that's why I would know somebody like Florence Henderson, because she wouldn't be on a show like Real Time.
Right.
You know, she had that kind of iconic... Also, Mrs. C from Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it used to be on, and I would call her Mrs. C. I mean, some people, you know, they just... And that, again, you doing a service for America, because our big problem is that half will... They won't even mingle with the other half anymore. So...
Oh, yeah.
Don't you find that?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, if you...
Yeah.
I mean, Trump was indicted. This is...
Oh, again?
I don't know when we're... Well, for the big one, for January
6th. Oh, no, it's today. I didn't see it. No, I've been working. I've been preparing for this.
That's why.
But
the world
I know the other two
horse races.
Okay, I know the other two. Indicted but united. Okay. So what's going to happen?
Yes.
So it's going to be going to happen? You're the guy. So who we go to for this? What's going
to
happen?
What I'm saying to you is that this, you know, everyone who saw this. I mean, everyone but you. This is like...
Well, no, I will see it tonight, probably.
It's not a...
It's L.A. It's a different time zone.
That happened over... It doesn't matter. It's just... You're on the pace of more people than I am.
Yeah.
But this is my business.
Oh, I'll know.
But it
I'll
is
know.
A pretty big...
I'll know
it
after
is a,
this.
It is
well,
a
I know
huge,
now.
It's a huge story because this is the... I mean, you could quibble, and I have, about well, should they have really gone after an ex-president, even as one as loathsome as he, for the porn star hush money? Yes, did he do it? Always the answer with any of his trials or impeachments or crimes is, did he do it? Yes, he did it. He's a criminal. Right. He does criminal things. He doesn't even think they're criminal. He's a pure id. He's an insane person because he's got malignant narcissism, like in a certifiable level where he literally can't think of, I don't think, the repercussions for other people. So he did all these things. But should we have gone after him for that? That one, and then there was the files one. I mean, again, did he do it? Of course, it was like, these files are mine. But this one, January 6th, not conceding the election, the thing that I had been saying all those years about Trump, when people were laughing at me, he's not going to leave office, that one is the one that matters. And so they finally, so hopefully they didn't blow their fucking powder on the first two. But of course, all the people who like him, they just think, oh, well, now they're trying this.
Yeah, well, right.
It's going to change nothing.
Well, no.
To get to my point is we need things where people who think, like when a story comes down like that, half the country's on one side, half's on the other, go to the Carrot Top show.
Nice.
And then, you know, you're not going to do anything that's going to really piss off either one.
No.
Whereas my show pisses off both.
Yeah, the show's great. That's funny, though.
It's very funny, though.
No, your show's funny. I just saw it. It was really, really, I told you, it was.
Oh, my stand. Oh, yeah. You always come and see me. I love
that.
No,
it was brilliant. It was. Thank you. Just to be honest, not to blow smoke, but it was. But I do want to, let me ask you something.
Well, I am in Vegas. Wait, I'm going to plug my dates. I'm so glad. I'm going to pretend this was a segue I knew about it. Why I hit a piece of paper under the pillow. But I will be at the David Copperfield Theater at the MGM Grand September 15th and September 16th. And are you in town? We got to get together.
We'll make sure I'm there.
Let's go to...
I'm not fucking going, but go. People go see you. I just saw...
Let's go to, I went to that Delilah restaurant. It was pretty awesome.
Do you remember how we met? No, I've been waiting to tell the story all night.
Romantic.
No, it wasn't a romantic question. Story. It's funny.
Wait, I want to hear about Charlotte.
What, Charlotte, fuck.
When did you live in Charlotte?
I know.
Why?
I'll tell you how. Why? So when I first started doing the comedy thing, and there was this guy that ran all these clubs in the South, and they had literally.
And where are you, Florida?
Florida.
Where?
They had Orlando.
Fucking Orlando, man.
Orlando, man.
I love Orlando.
No, it's great. I've been there my whole life. I love Florida. I love people.
I do,
too. When people shit on it. I say, good, keep shitting on it because I don't want you to come.
I feel like if I live there, I feel like the way I do about California, which is I love this place, but there's things I just hate about it, too. Yeah. There's bad things about Florida. Nobody talks well about the weather in the summer.
No, they don't care about anything nice. There's never anything nice
but
in Florida.
I do feel good in Florida. It's a freer feeling. It just is.
Florida's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great...
They just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And Miami, I mean, you couldn't live there. It's like Vegas with a beach.
I was going to say, I don't do that exactly.
Right. But it's also great that there is sort of a city in America. It's not really an American city.
Yeah.
It's much more of a continental,
Euro,
South American.
Miami? Yeah.
You know, it's just.
Orlando's like this little beautiful little quiet.
Orlando's just like, you know.
It's great.
It's just.
No, you don't like it?
No, I love it. You know, it's the kind of place where, like, you know, you don't have to make an excuse why you're going to a strip club.
Right.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah, what else are
they doing? I hear they do it well here. It's Florida. You got to do Florida things.
Yeah. That was my first prop I ever came up with.
What?
It was a hat just like this, and it had a spring and an old lady's head on it. And I said, I'd wear this so you'd see the lady's head behind done driving. And that was my very first prop. And it killed. It was, I'm playing Boca Raton,
Right.
And that was the first thing. Like, this is going somewhere. And old lady's head.
So your mind always just went to the...
it didn't, actually. Oh. Well, no, it did then because I didn't know how to be a stand-up. And now that I've done it almost 40 years, I've started to appreciate how to become a stand-up. So I've slowed down and doing it's a different world. It took a lot of time to get comfortable and being like letting a crowd listen to a story until there's a punchline.
Right.
Because I was scared to death. So I'd have to do prop, prop, prop.
I'm still scared to death. Have you heard of microdosing? it's getting recognized more by people looking to improve their health and performance. There's a lot going on in the world, and a lot of it is stressful. Here in LA recently, there was an earthquake during a hurricane. I could go on and on. We all need a way to relax and find our inner chill. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Whether you're seeking relief from pain, anxiety, better sleep, a creative boost, or just to relax at the end of the day and calm down that hamster wheel spinning in your head, microdose gummies are the perfect solution. And if you want more than a microdose of THC, they also make higher dose gummies that are available in 6 strains, including Granddaddy Sour OG and Watermelon Sorbet. Microdose gummies are available nationwide. Here's an exclusive offer for my listeners. Simply go to microdose.com and use the code RANDOM and save 30% off your first order plus free shipping. Go to microdose.com and use code RANDOM to save 30% and receive free shipping. Microdose gummies, because being healthy doesn't have to be boring. Go to microdose.com today. Did you know most of the shampoo out there that you're using is actually terrible for your scalp? Stripping valuable oils and blocking the sebaceous glands? Not sure what those glands are, but they have a big important sounding name. Regular shampoo has harsh chemicals and detergents that are wreaking havoc on your scalp, making your hair feel like a seagull caught in an oil spill. Fortunately now, there are Neal naturopathic products with no harsh chemicals and detergents. Just 100% natural ingredients that provide whole food nutrition and healing for the scalp, roots, and hair. I know because I use it every time I wash my hair. And trust me, I save anything harsh from my lungs. Neal naturopathic products have been formulated by a holistic naturopath with 40 years experience and are made in small batches here in LA. Neal naturopathic has everything you've been looking for to make your hair grow stronger and healthier. Neal naturopathic shampoos, conditioners, hair, and scalp oils, along with their accessories, are a game changer and leader in raising the caliber of your hair health. You can find them at NealNaturopathic.com. That's N-E-I-L, naturopathic.com. And for Club Random fans, they have a 15% discount on your first order. Use code BILL15 and feed your scalp and hair. Again, use code BILL15 at checkout at NealNaturopathic.com.
My dad worked at the Space Center, and that's why I'm from Florida.
Your dad worked at the Space Center?
Was it a rocket science? I swear to God, I know. Dude, what the fuck, right?
Well,
my first beer, speaking of we're drinking, so I was 14 and we went to see a launch. And this is even a bit. This is just like a story. So I'm like, my dad says, you want to go see a launch? I said, no, I don't want to see a launch. I want to watch the fucking Brady Bunch or, you know, Gilligan's Island. So we go to this launch. It's 100 degrees out in Cape Canaveral. And my dad's shaking hands with astronauts and shit. And he said, he comes out of these astronauts. And there's like these little tents set up where they sell beer, wine, hot dogs, you know. So my dad looks at me. He says, what do you want? And I said, a hot dog and a Coke. And my dad looked at the tents, and there was 50 people waiting to get a hot dog and a Coke, and there was 2 people in the beer line. So my dad looked at me and said, you're going to have a fucking beer. And I was, you know, 12, 14, 13. So I said, okay. So he gives me a beer because my dad's not going to wait in the fucking line to give me a Coke and a hot dog. So I'm just sitting there with a beer, and you're 13. And he kept looking over. He said, say hi to these astronauts. I was like, hi. And all of a sudden, the launch goes off. I did, it was a great launch. I said, there's like 3 launches. My dad's like, are you fucking drunk? I'm like, I don't know. I think. And then, you know, don't tell your mother for
a second. So your father sounds like a redneck scientist.
Yes.
He was?
He was a very smart scientist, but he was not really. Yes, redneck. Loved country music. Loved his pickup truck and his boots.
Yeah, I don't mean it as an insult.
No, not an insult at all. But my dad was so smart.
Love
he was too
my
smart
redneck
for his own
friend.
Good. He was too smart for his own good. My brother flew F-16s for the Air Force.
Wow.
How weird is that shit? How the fuck did I become? I might have a hit of that. I have.
Seriously?
Seriously? Like, didn't it? During the hit with the eyes. Seriously? Look at this? I'll probably die.
One thing I never do is proselytize about pot or any drug.
No,
it's like
never,
it's so personal.
Never,
it's like no, you do, you know, you do you, yeah, whatever yeah. you want to do. Just don't stop me.
Right.
But
But it's not personal because I'm smoking on the same wetty lip.
But do you drink?
Yes, I do drink. Yes.
Yeah. To excess? Mm-hmm. Do you drink a lot?
No.
But you drink every day?
I mean, this thing was full when I got here, but no. No, I don't drink a lot. These fuckers. Why do they do that?
That's
to
the
me?
Thing I was going to say to you. Yeah. Like, if I didn't know you were a prop comic and I was just talking to you and we were like comedians.
I'm not a prop comic.
Who meet backstage somewhere, I mean, and we were just talking, I wouldn't guess that you were. And I mean that as a compliment. It's not like, oh, yeah, he's only funny when he's got the prop in his hand. Yeah. He's a funny guy. Oh, you know, you sound like all my other good comic friends.
Non-prop comic friends. Yeah.
Yeah, who are just funny, you know. Yeah. It's not like you pull out props while we're talking. I mean, okay, you did a couple.
Well, that was yes. That was the fear. I could. I mean, I might have something in. But that was the fear when I first started doing, like, when I did clubs, as you know, like way back. When they did clubs, they would have all the comics go on the radio shows. And they'd say, he's not going to go on the radio because he's a prop. And I said, I can fucking talk. I can tell stories. Right. And so I went over going to like Howard Stern, and they'd be blown away that, you know.
Right.
Do you have your props? I said, no, I don't need props. I'm talking. I've been doing this for, I can right. tell a story. I don't need to do my act on the
yeah.
And then I said to my assistant during the Howard Stern, I said, go get my fucking props just as a joke. And he's like, you're going to do props on the radio? And I said, just one. So I started doing like some of my props as a joke but, on top of the joke. You know, a gay mouse trap. You know, it's already funny without even having to say it. It was a mouse trap with a little mirror ball, so it's a mouse trap to catch gay mice. So that, you know, it kills without having to even do the prop. It's funny.
I gotta say,
mouse trap to catch gay mice.
The little schematic you have there of getting the crowd to come to you, though, that is something.
In Vegas?
Well, yeah.
Or anywhere, right?
The rest of us, Leno, you were talking about me, everybody, we go to, you know, I got to go to Orlando. I love Orlando, but, you know, I don't love going there. I don't love the trip, no matter how easy you make it. It's right. far away.
Right.
Whereas you stay in one place and they come to see you. That's the Vegas method.
Yeah. It's
and not a lot of people get to do that. No. Not that I'd want to live in Vegas. Because I wouldn't, and I love Vegas for a weekend.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no doubt.
I don't know, but I guess you seem to like it right away.
I didn't right away.
No,
I hated it.
But you must have a baller.
I love it now.
Big ass mansion.
I have three that are all like this. There's three properties. The middle one I do my podcast in.
No, shut up.
No, I have a nice house in Vegas. And, people always say this stupid same stuff. Like, hey, you hang out with other, you know, it's like, it's not the fucking Rat Pack. No, we don't have like back then. They think that I'm hanging out with Celine Dion and fucking
right.
Adele. Oh, yeah, Adele and I have barbecues every week. Like, you know, it's just not what it was back then.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's not, well,
they
no.
think it is.
It's
they
not
want it
clubby.
But they want it to be.
Right.
They want it to be.
I like, want it to be.
Well, yeah. But they want it to be like, oh, yeah. So, right. And there's not a lot of residencies that are there that are one person anymore, like you said earlier.
I mean, they do it for a while. I mean, Elton John was there for a while.
Yeah, but only for a couple of days.
You're 18 right. years. That's a whole different thing. That's like, then you're like an institution.
Yeah.
And who wants to live in an institution? No. Well, yeah. But
Again? No. I was there a few times with, I had so much fun when I was on a show with, speaking of being in an institution, Jonathan Winters. And so I was a young comic and
Jonathan
he had me on his
Winters.
Special.
Wow.
Jonathan Winters special.
Wow.
I know, right? And so he brings us to this restaurant in Santa Monica. There's like six comics and him. He's the host. And takes us to a restaurant. And he literally stands and talks to the wall for about 20 minutes. Now, we're all thinking it, and everyone else would just laugh. I'm laughing, but I thought, you know what? There might be something to that. Like, I don't think he's being, I think he's fucking not real. This is real. And so finally, these people came over and said, Jonathan, like.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Only we talked to the, he said, you get these soldiers out there and da 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 and 19 prompt. And then he turned back, look at me, he says, you're a good looking kid. He kept doing that shit. I have had two people that used to, you're good looking and you grab your cheek and shit. Oh. And it was scary. It was scary, but it was Jonathan fucking Winters, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? But he was crazy.
Don't touch me.
He's crazy.
Still my rule. Even crazy. If you're
don't touch me.
Even if you're a comic,
even if you're Jonathan Winters.
Even if you're a comic genius, that's don't you're touch not me. Genius enough. Don't. But
you can't,
Yeah, he was. There was a sad. My knowledge of it, which is not deep, but what I thought I know is that Jonathan Winters, it was a sad life. He was depressive.
Probably.
And he was kind of like borderline cuckoo. And when he channeled it, like on those old clips we've seen, that's how we know him from The Tonight Show and so forth, you could see somebody working off the top of their head that this was truly ad lib. You know, this was high wire stuff where he did not do an act. Johnny would just, let me give you a prop, and you, and he'd give him a stick or something, and Johnny would do. Yeah. It was very much like what Gilbert did.
Yeah,
in New York, at the when I brought him up every night at Catch a Rising Star, there was like very basic props, and he would just do crazy shit with them. You know, just flight of fantasy. I cannot compete in this realm. I could not do that. I'd be very intimidated to go up on a stage.
And
they, I mean, some of the bits, of course, certainly I saw Gilbert thousands of times. Well, probably 1,000 at least. I remember there was ones that he would keep in. Like there was a stick, and he would put it behind his head like this, like with his hands over it. Impression, Jesus Christ. Then he would take the stick and turn sideways profile and put the stick over his shoulder, and it was Jesus on the cover of TV Guide.
That's great. Gilbert Brady,
and like, brilliant. You have to leave that one in.
Even he knew he had to leave that one in.
But in general, you know, and I think Winters was the same way.
Yeah, he was.
But you
could just look at him and laugh, though. That was kind of interesting, right? I mean, just you wouldn't say anything. You'd just go, the hat, and you'd laugh.
But so. He was going somewhere. It was an anticipation laugh. But you knew he had, or I guess he didn't know where he was going. But he always seemed to get there. Yeah. Of course, we've only seen the clips.
Right.
Where, I mean, maybe there was ones where he bombed.
Where he didn't, yeah.
Probably. I don't know. But it's funny mentioned the cheek thing, because I remember we must have similar memories of when we were young comics starting out, and there was that old guard, which we are now, which is the sad part. Let's not dwell on that, okay? But true. When we were starting out, I remember, you know, meeting people like Milton Berle, you know, meeting people. I remember I was at Bud Friedman had a dinner, and I was luckily one of his favorites. I love Bud Friedman.
Bud was always sweet to me.
Oh.
You know, the comics never gave me the spot. And that wasn't again Mitzi, but she never gave me the spot. But Bud Friedman loved me. I don't know why and how. But he gave me a
I couldn't get on at the Comedy Store either. But I didn't try that hard.
Same thing. I just told someone yesterday this.
Yeah.
Why didn't I said, you know, I never did, though. I didn't try. But I was always, the Bud loved me. And it was like when I did Leno. It was like the Leno, you're the Leno guy. But I did Letterman. They wouldn't let me do Letterman because they said I'm the Leno. I said, but I'm not the Leno guy. No, but back then. No, you're the Leno guy. No, but can I not do both? But I wasn't big enough to do both because, you know, they'd have you, Seinfeld, these guys. You could do Leno and Letterman, but me, they were like, no, you're the Leno guy. I'm like, but I'm not the Leno guy. I just did Leno.
Yeah.
But I would love to do Letterman. They said,
Yeah, I did do both, but I felt Letterman was much more sparing. I was, you know, they got it that I was. It was nice that they had me at all, I guess, because I was sort of Jay's guy.
I was a few times on Letterman too.
I was his remote correspondent. I don't know if you remember this.
I might.
But in the year 1993, when I was just starting Politically Incorrect, I was also Jay Leno's remote guy. And it started New Year's Eve. They put me in Times Square. I remember the big laugh was, you know, the ball, and it was like, Jay, England may have Big Ben, but here in America, we've got the big balls.
That's great.
And it was great. I don't remember who wrote it. I don't know probably not me, maybe. I don't really remember, but it's a great line because...
Especially
30 years ago, you had to be a little more careful on TV. You couldn't just go shit like they do
right now.
Comedy Central roast. That's everything but cunt.
Seriously.
Amazing.
No, you had to be a little more careful about it.
And for that reason, it got a huger laugh because it was like, oh, wow, he found a way to say that... makes us think about balls, and it, you know, you can't get them on it because it makes sense the other way.
So perfect.
So, and then we did I did like 25 of those, the Grammys, whatever event, Valentine's Day, Chinese New Year.
I do remember this.
And I'd have, we'd go on these remotes, we kind of like shoot it ourselves. They barely gave us a producer. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Raw.
And Jay would then ask me the questions and, you know. Well, he loved to play straight man. You know, he was a gen, you know. I mean, Jay always has a better joke, or at least he thinks he does.
Or try, sure.
So he doesn't like pause to laugh a long time. You know, he indicates a laugh to you.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? You really know the funny thing about
that. Yeah. So true. You're on to the next topic. Yeah, it's kind of smart. It's kind of brilliant, actually. Right. Because you're like, my parents came into the Connie Stevens one's still one of my favorites. Do you know this one?
Connie Steven.
Yeah. Now, I told Jay this not long ago, and he said, I don't really know. I said, you did this joke for 30 fucking years. And he legitimately looked at me like I did, like I was, he didn't know it. So I thought it was kind of interesting. Because I know every joke, kind of, unless someone says, I saw you do this bit where you do it. I'm like, oh, it's not
Connie
the right guy.
Steven?
So he says, my mom and dad, I just got the Tonight Show, and they go, my mom and dad come from Boston, right? We go to this fancy restaurant.
Remind me, Connie Steven?
Well, I'll tell you this, so it's real quick. So he says, I bring my family, this is great though. And he's, so my mom and dad were at this fancy restaurant, and I said, Mom, Dad, get everything, you know, Jay, get everything you want, order anything you want, it's not me, you know. So his mom and dad's like, this is Jay, this is crazy, we're not doing this. And his mom's like, this is expensive. He's like, Mom, Dad, just get anything you want. His mom leans over and says, this is so crazy, but that looks a lot like Connie Stevens. And Jay looks behind him, he says, well, it's Hollywood, Mom, that is Connie Stevens, you know, which you kind of forget when you're here, right? Well, that is Connie Stevens. She goes, I would do anything to meet Connie Stevens. So Jay says, you know, fuck, I just got the goddamn, but she doesn't know, fucking, I don't want to bother her. So he walks over, he says, Ms. Stevens, I don't want to bother you. I'm the Jay Leno, I just took over from Johnny Carson. I'm the host of The Tonight Show. My parents are here from Boston, and they want to say hello. Would you say hello? And she says, oh, sure, bring her over. So he was Mom, Connie Stevens, my mom. And he says, my mom leans in and says, whatever happened to you? And, you know, Jay's like, ah. So it was just, and how he does it in the show. So I tell him that not too long ago, and he goes, I don't remember that joke. I said, you told it for 35 years.
That is not a joke to a lot of people. I mean, every performer, myself included, I'm sure you do too, understands one thing about the public. Very, very large percentage of them, without knowing that they're being insulting or trying to be insulting, just don't understand. They're not in show business. Yeah. I'm not blaming them. I don't know the insurance business. But I've heard them say things like that. Yeah. Why don't you have a show anymore?
Right. You're like fuck, I'm on every goddamn night.
I
get that every day. I used to work in a, like, I had a guy today. No, literally. I said, every night. They're like, no, seriously, where you been? I'm like, I'm every night. I've been going anywhere.
Yeah.
You still working? You know, here's the weird thing, too. I can take not even a day off. I fly to somewhere. Let's say Orlando. Get off the plane. I've just done 2 months in Vegas. I get off the plane, go to a restaurant that I go to all the time in my little town on my little scooter in my Speedo. And someone will walk up and say, oh, you're not working anymore? Are you retired? I'm like, I just fucking worked 2 months. Like, it's one day off.
What is your schedule? How many weeks do you do it, though?
I do like 4 weeks on, 1 week off on average.
Right.
Yeah. This week, I would be in Florida, but I'm here.
And you go back to Florida with your week off?
Yeah, but I came here for you because you only shoot one day, and I was, fuck, I got goddamn thing.
Why do you go back to Florida?
I like they put Crown in a different kind of bottle. This is not how Crown comes, by the way. That's a different brand.
Because we don't want to plug it. You don't want to pay for it.
This is right.
Pay for advertising, and I'll put Schlitz Rheingold on
it. Should we do a shot
it?
Instead? Yeah. That looks like it'd be more fun.
So... But why do you always go back to Florida? You still feel comfortable more in Florida?
Yeah, well, I have a boat in
So being in Vegas is like always just being in work?
I feel like I'm working in Vegas when I go to
Florida.
Well, you are. But I mean, right. Well, right.
But I guess...
So my Florida's a getaway where I'm not working, so I don't read about...
And you work seven
I don't read,
days a week?
I don't read, you know, like the Trump thing. I didn't know today because I didn't read it.
Shut up.
But I will hear about it.
Wait, no.
It's going to be so big.
You work 7 days.
You gotta get close with him. It's gonna be Sean. Listen to me, seriously. I'm the only guy that's ever done this. He always gets so
You're
close.
Right.
He gets so close. And Sean Hannity's like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "No, seriously. We're gonna talk about this. This is what I mean in Palm Beach. Get off me." can't get any closer. Lap dance with Tom. Okay, Mr. Trump. Fucking lap dance from
you're
you.
Right.
He does. He's right in.
Such a.
Seriously, this is. It's true. It's true. It's true.
Oh,
we can't get any farther away.
It's even scarier when it's you.
I know. We both have orange. You know, I met him on Regis and Kathy Lee. That's how old I am. Regis and Kathy Lee, and he was the guest host. And here's the weird thing. Maybe you can help me. You're a very powerful man. You're a very powerful man. I was on the show with him, Angela Silverstein or Silverstone, whatever her name is from Aerosmith videos. Her, me, and Donald Trump, and da-da-da.
Alicia
Silverstone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We got him all right.
She just texted me again, Alicia Silverstone. God damn it. So anyway, I'm trying to get this goddamn clip where I come on the show and I walk out on Regis and Kathleen, and all I say is, I love that I'm finally on a show where I don't have the stupidest hair. That's all I said. And Donald Trump looks at me.
Oh.
Yeah. But he looks at me and he says, like, you know what? And then he says, touch it. And I said, what's that? And he's like, touch my hair. And I said, I didn't say it. So he makes me touch, like, I wish I could find the film. So he puts his hand, like, he makes me touch his hair, right? I wasn't against touching his hair. I'm a comic. I just made a joke. It's a in and out joke.
I understand.
And then he tells the crowd it's real. I said, I didn't say it wasn't real. I said, the joke was I didn't have the stupidest hair. I did not say it wasn't real.
He's such an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell them all. I did. I told everybody.
He's stupid and he's crazy. These are two different
things. He's sitting behind you.
That people have to understand. like stupid is, no one knew healthcare was so complicated. That's just stupid.
Was that your Trump impression? That was good. It was really not good.
Everyone can do it. Whatever that was good.
We all
can do it good enough to make people understand.
No, you just lean in. You lean in. I'm telling you, you lean in. You do. You breathe in.
And
you feel like you're smoking in your face.
That vagina pose that he does with his hand. Yeah. He always leaves his hand between his legs.
And you just pretend you're smoking your eyes.
I think that's the international symbol for vagina. I know when you hold them above your head, it's a safety in the NFL.
That's hilarious.
It's basically the same one.
You're right, though. He does do that. So.
But you did. You stayed loyal to your look. Although, wasn't it used to be more of a curly fro?
Yeah, now it's all, yes.
But it's such really yours?
It's all mine.
Really?
I'm going to leave half of it here for you. This is all mine. Yes, it's all mine. It's all mine. It's just.
What is that?
It's dreaded.
It's dreaded.
Yeah. Because I dread every fucking day of my life being Carrot Top. So I dread it. That's actually funny. I did this because I dread every fucking minute being Carrot Top. This happened today, by the way. I was driving.
But like,
I was walking down Sunset Boulevard to get a little bite before coming here.
Really?
And one of those,
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, but in the nice area. And so, that one block that's not looted yet. So I walked by and one of those star buses went by and the guy's like,
Carrot Top.
So I was like, hi. And I thought, this is fucking, I can retire. I made it. I walked in Sunset and I got recognized by one of those tour bus guys.
Well, you're very recognized.
But everybody was like, oh my God. And they're like, no, it's not really him.
Okay. You have a big, massive red hair, first of all.
I'm recognizable.
You've been around a long time. Yeah. You know, everybody.
I'm fucked in a lineup, by the way.
So I'm not surprised. Of course, they recognize you.
No, but it was just cute. I thought it was cute because I was walking. They're like, "It's Carrot Top, everybody!" And then they're like,
"What does it take to do dread?"
I didn't. They just did it.
Who did it?
No, it did it. It did. I didn't do
it.
It did it.
Your hair? Yeah. Why? Because you never wash it.
Well, I wash it, but it just it's very, very big and full. And so if I don't comb it every day, it just starts to curl and knot. If you have every day. So then I just, one day I said, you know what, I'll just, whatever. It needs to be, they comb it out now. It'll take a while, but they can comb it out. But I like, it's fun, it's different. A lady in my crowd just two nights ago, literally.
Amazing that you could
pull
it off at your age. Fuck. Really, it is.
At my age. I'm surprised I can even get up at the watch. I can get what?
And look at those guns. When did you become this big?
Yesterday. Seriously. No, I swear to God, yesterday I started lifting weights.
No, it's been...
I've always been lifting weights. That's why people give me so much crap. Because you're a comic and you can't be in shape.
Joe Piscopo. Funny.
Yeah, but he went too far. He was... No, he did, though. I mean, I think I'm in... Not, I know Joe Piscopo. I'm not saying it in a mean way. I'm
right.
saying
no, no.
He just went a little too crazy. But people say to me all the time, like, you know, you're a comic.
Oh,
you
I'll
can't
say
be
it in a
shape.
Mean way. I don't know really, Joe, and I love a lot of his comedy. I thought he was genius on Saturday Night Live as a sketch player. The things he did, the Sinatra, and the some things he's never, I thought, got enough credit for that. Partly because he was playing drums on the Tonight Show.
With a tank top.
With a tank top. Yeah. And it's like, you dick. And I'm sure he knows that too.
That's what
by
I
the
said.
Way,
it
at this point in his life, you know, we all look back and think at some things we did. I mean, I certainly do. Oh my God. I can't believe I thought that. I did that. I wore that. You know, so I'd be very surprised if he was like, no, that was a great idea.
Yeah. No, I think but he probably like, realizes that. He just went too far.
It was like the id of every comedian coming out saying, no, I want to have the girls throw themselves at me like they do
right,
at
right.
Aerosmith.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what it was.
I think so, too. I think he knows that, too. But yeah. I mean, people ask me, like, I'm not that crazy, but I work out, but I'm not like, you know. First thing they say to me, actually, when they meet me, is like, I thought you were, like, bigger. And I'm like, no. That was, like, they make you out this crazy big muscle
but
guy.
But like,
I weigh 160.
Those guns look like you must really like it.
I like working out, but I don't really
you
like...
You do?
Yes, but I don't go... I go, like, 30 minutes a day. I don't go, like... Don't,
oh, that's smart. But every day?
Almost every day. But I also run. I'm a runner.
Right.
So I run. From people. I run from society. People.
Yeah,
from
no,
people.
I...
From people, Bill. I gotta do your thing. I gotta do your vagina thing. That's funny now that he does do that, doesn't he? He's like... Mm.
He really does. Anyway.
Pee-wee. That's the Pee-wee Herman.
He is...
what do you think about that? I never met Pee-wee Herman.
I didn't either. Not to my knowledge.
Everyone's been talking. Maybe you haven't heard about this. But
no.
Because you heard about Fox News.
No,
you heard about the Trump thing. But I'm kidding. I'm being stupid.
Oh. Yeah,
but
no,
people asked me all day long
for
interviews. And I said, I don't know. I didn't know him. I don't have...
Did not know him. Did not watch the show. Wasn't my type of humor.
Agreed.
But I completely understand... Because so many smart people love it.
Sure.
That it was very smart stuff. And to a lot of people, it was a scream. Just didn't get me, you know? I don't get everybody. I mean, I don't get them as an audience.
Sure.
You know, you have to.
I never did either, but I would have probably liked to have met him, but everyone, you know.
And I remember when he was one of the first people who seemed to be canceled because he... Did something like jerk off in a movie theater? Well, what?
I like that you said it was something like that was what it was. Something like jerk off in a movie. I never heard about that. No, isn't that crazy though?
You didn't hear that he got.
No. I'm saying I'm being stupid right now again.
Oh.
So, Mike, I want to talk about this in a sense because it just happened and the newspaper here in LA just did a whole story about it. And let's say 400 words were about. That and the other 50 words were about
jerking off.
No, what he's done. The 400 were only about jerking off. I thought that was a little offensive in a sense that.
So offensive.
When the poor guy, I'm sorry, but he was in a place where you're supposed to do that, I believe. And this happened so many years ago when I lived in Florida.
It's the kind of thing.
What does that mean?
It makes you, me, I won't speak for everybody, fucking hate the media. The way they, like, there was. A Washington Post reporter who, like an hour after Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down, brought up and was talking about his rape trial. You know, really? Can you let the embers and the ashes like cool down before we...
That's what they did with Pee-wee yesterday. I mean, he had just passed.
And what
and
is wrong with masturbating in a movie theater?
Well, what I'm saying is...
I mean, for the kids out there who don't understand what we're talking about, kids before there was cell phones and before there were even like computers maybe. No, I guess there was computers on our desk in, what was this, 1990-something?
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, there wasn't Pornhub, I don't think, back then.
I don't know. But there was places you go.
There was, yes, I remember... Porn in the 90s. It was VHS. Mm. You could rent them or buy them.
Yeah.
I remember.
I still have them.
You know what? I remember when I took off from Politically Incorrect soon to do the show I'm doing now, Real Time, Jimmy Kimmel came in my time slot in ABC, and we were always friends. It didn't interrupt it. I was happy for him. He came to the party, and his gift to me, because he is such a sweet guy, a box of porn, VHS tapes. That was like where we were.
It's funny.
So if you were going to masturbate, which is a natural, you know, he didn't masturbate on children or anything, did he?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I didn't ask.
Before there was the easy way to masturbate at home, you had to go to the theater or like get a VHS or magazines.
But why did that happen then?
But he's not the Fred Willard. Remember Fred Willard?
Yeah, of course I do.
Fred Willard, one of the funniest guys ever.
Brilliant.
Masturbated in a theater.
But again, yes.
Okay. I mean,
that alone is brilliant. But they didn't last long after that when it happened. Meaning, I remember when it happened that I was like, oh my God. But it was gone the next day. But the pee-wee thing destroyed him.
Destroyed him, yes.
Destroyed him.
It was very,
like you said, canceled.
It was very similar to.
The why?
But why is such a.
I mean, seriously, that wasn't. It wasn't with anything. But
this,
like
this
you said, it wasn't
constantly.
Anything, it was just. Pornography. It wasn't illegal.
Well, I guess they can make up any reason they want, and people can posture and pose and present and pretend that they believe anything about anything. So their excuse for this one was, well, you know, his show is for children.
Well, that's the only thing I
children
think.
Plus
that's
masturbating.
The only thing I think is because he had a
equals
kid show.
Evil. Bullshit. You just, for whatever reason, you cancel who you want. Other people, my example always, and I'm not trying to pick on him, but Charlie Sheen has done more things that are like many multiple times worse in each area than people who've been canceled for something else. And he gets a Super Bowl commercial.
First Tonight Show ever.
Like they just don't hold it against him.
Yeah.
They're just some people who slide. Winona Ryder had the same thing happen as who we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, the Pee Wee slot.
Pee Wee Herman, yeah. For like.
Well, she was shoplifting.
So what?
I know, but it's kind of weird.
It's legal now in San
Francisco. Now it is.
It's legal now in San Francisco.
Well, now it is. You can just break into Barney's right now. They just said that the Gucci store got robbed again.
That's funny.
There's a billboard to say, come get what's left. Is what they
Winona
Ryder
was just ahead of her time.
She was ahead of her time.
She shoplifted.
She was doing it before it was cool.
In the war, in the wrong era.
She was the pioneer for shoplifting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Even responsible people sometimes go a little overboard on the drinks and sleep late or miss a workout or lose their keys and wallet while talking to Carrot Top. If you're committed to your healthy routine this year, you need ZBiotics. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. And as Americans, we already have plenty of those. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. It's designed to work like your liver, but in your gut, where you need it most. Having a ZBiotics before drinking makes such a difference the next day. There's no better way to feel your very best the morning after drinking than with ZBiotics. Go to ZBiotics.com/random to get 15% off your first order when you use random at checkout. You can also sign up for a subscription using my code so you can stay prepared no matter the time or occasion. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/random and use the code RANDOM at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode. It's official. I found the softest t-shirt mankind has ever made. Imagine the softest thing you've ever touched. Maybe kittens or freshly fallen snow or your penis after looking at the latest Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Marine Layer is the go-to brand for great fitting and stylish closet staples. Based out of California, Marine Layer clothes are that perfect mix of laid-back style that also looks and feels premium. What I love about Marine Layer is how their t-shirts stay so soft no matter how many times you wash them. It's time to invest in a wardrobe that will actually last. For a limited time, our listeners get an exclusive 15% off discount with the code RANDOM15 at marinelayer.com. For all my music junkies, Marine Layer just dropped a line featuring classic bands like The Grateful Dead, Bob Marley, Cream, Led Zeppelin, Crosby, Stills and Nash, and Pink Floyd. Each shirt features one of Bill Graham's legendary Fillmore posters. You can finally rock a great fitting and quality brand t-shirt that will last. Whether you're going on a date, the office, or keeping it casual while watching sports, Marine Layer has the best shirts for every occasion. Marine Layer even has a program to recycle old t-shirts. Marine Layer will send you a prepaid recycling kit and literally give you a $5 credit per shirt. You heard that right. You actually get paid for your old tees, all while helping Marine Layer keep tees out of landfills. I think we can all admit the perfect tee can be hard to find. Look no further than Marine Layer. For a limited time, get 15% off with the code RANDOM15 at marinelayer.com. That's code RANDOM15 for 15% off your entire order at marinelayer.com. Saving your closet one shirt at a time. Hey, I'm back on the road. I'm doing stand-up in Las Vegas very soon. Friday, September 15th, and Saturday, September 16th, I will be at the David Copperfield Theater at the MGM Grand, my new home. Loving it. That's the MGM Grand in Vegas. And then Saturday, October 7th, I will be at the fabulous Fox Theater in St. Louis. It's actually called that. They were like, fuck it, we're fabulous. And then Sunday, October 8th, I will be in Omaha, Nebraska at the Orpheum Theater. It's great, too, just a little more modestly named. Come on out and see me.
So do you remember how we met?
No, I don't.
I have to tell you this.
But I don't remember how I met
anybody. I'm all goddamn day to tell you this.
Yes.
Because you don't remember.
I don't.
All right.
I'm telling you. But I don't remember anybody how I met.
But I want to tell you because it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So there's maybe it's HBO, I guess, with the guy that used to run HBO. One of those big parties. Everyone in the world. Bill Clinton was there. Everyone was there.
What year is this?
1990 something. It was always in the 90s. So I was.
Clinton was president?
He might have either just came out of being president and he was there.
Well, that was 2000 then.
Before then. Sorry, he might have been. So, right. Anyway, everyone's just big round tables. There's like 30 or 13, 14 people at a round table. You're at one. I'm with Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know. All the people that
were. It's a dinner party?
Yeah.
A dinner party?
But it was
somebody's house.
No, it was at a big like a hotel. It was like either an award show or a thing.
Oh, so there's a big event. So there are lots of tables. That right?
Yeah, it's an event. Yes, dinner. So we go to the. If it's,
so
yes.
Not just the one.
No,
table.
No, there's okay, a thousand okay. people.
But
there.
I was at this table.
You were at a table.
Okay.
I was at a table, but all celebrities.
You
all,
left out 1,000 people.
Oh yeah, sorry. Okay. Celebrities, all celebrities. Sorry, I'm a horrible.
A thousand celebrities.
That's why I'm a prop comic. I can't tell a story.
A thousand celebrities.
A thousand? No, literally. I mean, Larry King, you, Clinton, fucking Casey Kasem. All right. So I go. There's a restroom break. I go to the restroom and I walk in and there's Casey Kasem is next to me at a urinal.
Wow.
Yes, and Ted Danson, Larry King. I'm not making this up. So I stand up at the urinal. You walk in. And you're next to me at the other side of the urinal.
Really?
And I looked over at Casey Kasem, and I was losing my mind. I said, this is crazy. Now, this is before I'd ever met you. And I'm like, oh, my God, Bill Maher. Like, I've never been to California, and I'm peeing next to Bill Maher and Casey Kasem. And I looked over at you. You were peeing. And I looked over at your stall, and I said, that is a beautiful cock. To you. And you said, what the fuck? And I said, that's a great cock. And you laugh like you're now doing. And I thought, oh, God, I could have gone either way. And you laugh and you kept going, you fuck. So you went out and I'm like, oh, God, I hope I didn't, you know, ruin the whole. So I go back to my table and I see you sitting with your table of friends and you were telling them what I just had done. And then you look at me and you said, come here. And I said, what? You said, come here. And everyone's laughing. And tell them what you just did. And I said, you just told them what I did. And he said, well, tell them. I said, you just told them what I did. And I said, and just for what it's worth to all your friends, I said, it's not that great. It's like Casey Kasem's like a little. And you said, you want to be in my show tomorrow.
Oh, that's just.
And terrible. You put me on your politically incorrect
really?
Show the very next day.
The next day?
Yeah. And I remember your producer, to this day, a writer, came out and said, what the fuck, Billy Martin? And I said, Billy, how funny is that? Like, he's like, dude, you know, whatever. But it was great. The very next,
I mean,
it must have been a slow week. You didn't have anybody to fill that last year. I was on there many times. It was fun. It's a good round table.
I'm trying to find out what year this is because
1990 something. I
understand that.
Maybe it's 2000. It might have been 2000.
I know it's not 1880, and I know it's not 2460. Yes, the 90s. But like the show started in 93, and Clinton started in 93.
Right. So it was around that time.
Okay, but that meant if that was the case, that meant that Clinton was. Sitting at the table with us?
No, he didn't sit at the table.
Oh, he spoke. Okay.
He came out.
It could have been a Clinton fundraiser.
It might have been I want to say it was for HBO guy, whatever his name was, but yeah. It could have been a Bill Clinton fundraiser.
Well.
It was very cool.
If he was president.
I'm talking like people, like everybody. I was like,
I think it had to
Billy
be.
Billy Crystal. I'm like, what the fuck?
I think this had to be later than 93 because they didn't. The show just started. They didn't know who I was.
Well, and 95, so 6.
Yeah, okay. So he was probably president and. It's
pre-COVID.
As if that makes any sense. I love that. Pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Yes. And post-Civil War.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Wow. No, I don't remember that.
Not too bad. But now you remember. All the times that we've done things together. Your party with Florence Henderson, Bill Clinton.
I must tell you, Scott, I have a very selective memory.
Yeah, I know.
I don't, so do I. I don't.
It's Bill, right?
I don't really understand why the things that stick.
Shit. No, but you do a good job at it.
And then so much doesn't. Like, you must have the same situation. You have memories.
Of course.
That don't seem to, from way long ago, that don't seem to have any significance. You just remember that, oh yeah, I remember that night in college and we were watching TV and I remember... That guy, Stu, said, like, all your snacks revolve around cheese. You know, because I had Cheez-Its and cheese squares and whatever. Why do I remember that from 1977?
Right.
You know, it just makes no sense. Nope. Why do I remember that? And then, like, the whole seemingly more important things just are gone with the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly every time I've met you up until this time is, yeah. But this is great, you know. This is the first day of the rest of our lives.
I said I should. We probably was like before our wedding day. We shouldn't talk, but yeah, just wanted to see.
Well, that's the sad / happy thing about our business. People tend to only really even see friends when you're working.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
It's just the one thing
that's
that
true.
Gets us off our ass.
Yeah.
Even though we'd have just as good a time and it would be exactly what we're doing, but there's just something about it.
You're right.
You know.
Well, there's a thing, and God bless, that you're working because, you know, there's nothing worse than, you're not working anymore.
No.
They have nothing to, you know.
No, you'll work till you drop.
I hope so. Yeah, it's been a fun run.
Yeah. I mean, what else would you do? Run for Congress?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? They always make that joke. Carrot Top's going to run for, oh, fuck.
You could, though.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because, run for any kind of office.
Well, first of all, as Trump and others before him have proved, anyone.
Every time you do that, I got to come in. And you got to do it close. You got to be close. He's holding Sean Hannity's knees. Like, seriously. Right?
So true.
It's true.
Aggressive.
It's so close.
Oh.
He can't be. He can't do
well,
it back
of course,
here. He never sits back in his chair. Have you ever seen? He's always up on it. He's always up on it.
Because that's who he is.
Yeah, he's ready to go. I think he's ready to jump.
Of course.
He can't jump. But you know what I mean? It is weird. When I do find it interesting when like you do this. Actually, this is interesting to me. I'll ask you this. So like when you do like politically incorrect, real time.
Yeah.
You have your chair, and you do have this very calm demeanor, where you're not like
it's no weird.
No, but you're not. But it's interesting to me. Like I always feel like I'm like I never could do something where I'm just so relaxed. I have to be kind of... So that's funny that...
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what makes it interesting. We're so different.
Yeah.
But
I am relaxed. I've been sitting back...
No, you are.
Until I do my joke.
Because we're just doing this. But when you do your show, yes, you're performing at an energy level that I'm not attempting to get to and would ruin what I'm doing. Yeah. If I did real time... You know, and here's the governor, and here's the senator. That doesn't work. Works here. That's why I started a podcast. But it does. Yeah, I mean, you
guys should do one time. Let's do that one night in the show. Come out that way. Now our governor. Whatever you just did was brilliant. Yeah.
Really would be funny is if one night be like, Bill is ill tonight, filling in to host Real Time.
We do.
And then you would blow their minds because you'd have read the paper that day.
Right. I read the paper every day.
You could. I know you do. You know what?
I read it.
You could. you could handle it fine. You could probably handle it better than like a lot of people that others would think would handle it better.
Thank you. And we had a guy. We had an idea one time. Saturday Night Live, the guy that, of course, owns it, runs the show.
Lorne Michaels.
So it's weird that, so one time, my buddy had a great idea. He says, holy shit, Saturday Night Live, you should be the guest host, whatever. I said, they're going to fucking have me as a goddamn guest. You know,
Normie.
No, but you know me. Well, okay. But I mean, they're going to have anybody... So it turned out my buddy had a brilliant idea. He said, Saturday Night Live, oh my God, this year ends on the Saturday is New Year's Eve. I mean, what's you call it? The April Fool's. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this idea, and it was really funny, and they loved it.
It is funny.
And even Lorne Michaels loved it. They were all ready to go because it was an April Fool's show. They're like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, tonight's and play, you know, Adele and Carrot Top. And I walk out, and before the crowd's like, what the fuck? And then this is April Fool's. And then they have like, you know, Chappelle or someone real do it. But it was the same idea.
Well,
it would have been really funny. And I would say, wait, but I really can do this. And then they'll put me in a skit later. And like, but I really can, it's funny.
I thought this was going in a slightly different direction. I'm not think I'm crazy about this because, first of all, it's exactly, you could do it. It's just so snobby.
Yeah.
It's just so New York. And look, truth is, nobody has been responsible for more of the comedy that this country has consumed in his lifetime than Lorne Michaels. The comics who came out of that show became the movie stars.
Jesus.
I mean,
it can't be a bigger platform show.
No one is close to second. Just producing. And, you know, therefore also being sort of the arbiter of a certain kind of taste. And, you know, they constantly found amazing people. Amazing sketch players turned into amazing, you know, movie. Not everyone's a hit or a great, but, I mean, you know, I could go through the names.
Oh, yes.
A lot of them. But, and for whatever reason, he didn't want me to, you know, there was a time when I would have been more appropriate to do it. I guess I'm too polarizing now. But, and they would look upon you as what, too, I don't know. But there are many nights when they have somebody hosting that show, and I go, okay, good name, bad host. You know, you're star fuckers. I get it. That's part of the formula of the show, or it became it.
Sure.
But there are some people who actually would have given you a better show. I think you could have given them a great fucking show. And we shouldn't be so fucking snobby about it. Like, Carrot Top should not be in this other category.
Right. I took it as
a
joke.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one that thought of the idea.
But
my buddy did. But I have a sense
of... I don't like the idea of you cementing this reputation of somebody who's just, who is such a joke that...
Sure.
It's a little like
That's
way.
That's why I thought we'd do the. I would come in and sketch later and kind of let them know.
You know, that's one thing Trump never does is he never like owns up to anything. Now, usually it's bullshit, but like as far as defending yourself, that works great in politics. The opposite was Al Gore in the year 2000 when he was running for president after Bill Clinton's horrible blowjob scandal that just made America cry. He sort of distanced himself, not sort of, very much distanced himself from a very successful administration, which he was the vice president, because the head guy got blown. My joke was, what was he holding Monica's hair? It's not great. Like he hadn't.
He wasn't.
Not like
great.
He had anything to do
That's
with
brilliant.
It. And Trump is the opposite. You know, don't give them the satisfaction of putting a label on you.
Right.
And
well,
and
it's
then,
too late now. Fuck, I've been. You know,
I don't.
No, I mean, I think it's fine now because I've been still. I'm going 40 years later. But to be the punchline, it's fine.
I really well, that's big of you.
Well, I mean, I'm. You know, I'm still doing it.
Standing.
So I'm still standing. I'm still doing my show every night. Yeah. You know, speaking of the monitor, this is great. So I did the Jay Leno joke show. I had my closing bit was this podium. It was very well engineered. It was like a great prop. Great prop. It was like it was a podium, and it had this like foot pedal, and it had the Monica Lewinsky head came up. But there was like three parts to the whole. Seriously, it was like three parts.
Oh, some of your props are elaborate.
Thank you. There was some that have been real. This one was great.
You're like if Tom Cruise was a prop comic. This was the kind of shit that he would like.
I've had a few that I've been proud of as far as engineering wise. One was the senator.
How much space do they take up? A lot, right? Backstage?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then across the street, there's a warehouse that's. It's.
Can you imagine having to travel with that? It would be like a rock band. You'd need trucks.
We do travel with it. I have a crew that takes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We go on the road, they take it all. There was a senator that got busted for soliciting sex in the bathroom where he tapped his foot. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm like
Larry Craig.
Yeah. So I'm like on it, right? I have to do Leno like 3 days, and I'm like, I'm always topical. I got the goddamn prop. So it's a briefcase that I want a leg to come down, and I want the foot to tap like this, right? That was the whole joke in the scandal thing.
If so I said to my prop, set it up for you. Larry Craig, yes, was a senator.
He was in the bathroom in Minneapolis.
Correct. Right. A bathroom that is known to be.
Oh, I don't.
Like the. Well, that's
I don't
part
know.
Of. Yeah.
How come I never heard of this bathroom?
Known to be like the gayest bathroom.
Why don't I know about this bathroom?
Well, you do now. And so, and there were rumors about him anyway. He was plainly a closeted homosexual. Right. He was in something like Idaho, where you just can't be. A long time ago. You just can't be a gay
but
senator.
But how do you do that in an airport and you think they're going to get fucking head?
And that was the thing.
But
it must be some signal that goes
but
on.
But I'm saying, let's say,
this
forget that he's a senator. He's in an airport. But what does he think he's going to get head at the airport? Like, who gets fucking head at the airport?
Lots.
Really?
In this bathroom. Yes. In this app. Yes. It was known
See,
for.
I don't understand all that.
Well, George Michael got.
Or I know. I just drove by it a minute ago.
Right. That was a park right down the road
but
here.
But that's different than an airport.
Well,
you're
and
in an airport,
the,
like a park.
Excuse
you
me,
have
but
trees and breeze and fucking
and
looking.
And
around.
I don't mean this.
I don't understand it, that.
There's no judgment
airport?
Or
airport.
No judgment or demeaningness meant here at all. But the gay community is different. They're a little.
You got me in the airport.
A little looser.
Yeah,
we're uptight. Us heterosexuals.
But no, yeah, it was a briefcase, and I thought of the idea, and I just. Being funny, I said, here's what I want the briefcase to do. I want the foot to come down and a dress suit leg and a dress shoe, and I want it to drop down, and then I want it to tap. So my prop builder says to me, the next day I walk in the Lux, and he's got this briefcase. He hit one, there's a red button, a blue button. He hit the red button, and the leg goes down, and the dress, I swear to God, hit the blue button, and it taps. So I'm like, oh my God. So I go on the Tonight Show, I'm like, this is like, as topical as you could be. The camera guys are always the worst. They finally got it. They zoomed right in on the foot. So that's one that I'm proud of because it was just like, even Jay was like, how the fuck did you make that? I said, I don't know. I thought of it and the guy made it.
But this guy is always on your payroll?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
You have to have a guy like that.
Yeah.
So prop master.
Master prop maker.
Unbelievable.
And there's been some that was one that was very, now the Clinton one, I love this one because so I did the Tonight Show again. It was the last bit. And so I do the rehearsal, as you've done it thousands of times. So, you know, the orange lady's, you know, just looking at me. She hates me. She loves me, but she hates me, you know. I always bring my jokes. She's like, Scott, you can't do a gay rat trap. I'm like, why? So I do the, I have this Bill Clinton podium, and there's like four layers of this prop. There's a podium. It's got the presidential seal and a true false button. And same thing, two buttons. And it'd have a ding, ding. So I said, I did not have sex with that woman. And we go, and then I did ding. So it's like built up. The last joke of the whole fucking buildup of this whole goddamn lie detector podium, which is still honestly would work now because it's just generic.
Right.
Is I hit this foot pedal and this Monica Lewinsky head would come up with a beret, literally a beret on it. And all you see is this from the, you know, the beret. And I would take, and I put her head, this is makes me think of what you said. And I put her head, I'd use my hand that I put it down. And I'd say, not now, not now. Right? And so.
Wait, you didn't do that on TV.
Wait, no, this is true. So it kills, of course, in the rehearsal. Everyone's going crazy.
Right.
I mean, even Jay's, you know, he's over there. Oh, it's going on. So, come over. I had the worst. These are like, I'm going to write a book about my Tonight Show stories. So the lady says, you can't. I said, I can't do the podium. That's my last bit. She goes, no, you can do the podium. You can do everything, but you can't use your hand to put her head down.
That's what I would think.
I said, well, there's no ending. So I said to the prop guys there that have helped me for so many times, I said, can you come up with my, you know, I have this foot, but can you make it where it goes down without me physically touching it? They worked on it for, I only had an hour from the work on it. They couldn't do it.
Oh.
So I'm live, do the thing, kill. It's the last bit, and the fucking head comes up. It's fucking brilliant. And I can't do this or I'm done. So I use my elbow because I'd hit. So I went, I go, no, not now. And I put, oh, fuck.
Did they get mad at you?
Well, they did, but it was like, it killed. But, you know, they come over and they said, I said, no, you said I can't use my hand.
Right.
So, you know, you got to find a.
And then was there.
They were fine. No,
but like, was it a million letters or something?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there for the letters.
So there was no like.
No, but it's just funny how there's certain things you can do, though, that's fine. And then that you when you find it's funny that where you cross the line is using your hand as opposed to your elbow. The elbow was okay. They did let it go.
Yeah.
But the hand is not, this is, well, taboo. This is, oh, it's okay.
Get back to my point about Charlie Sheen and like everything is arbitrary.
Yeah.
I don't mind rules. I do sometimes actually, but like, can we have some consistency about some of this shit? Like, why does somebody get into this much trouble? I mean, like, I could not want Trump to be president less than anyone in this country. I don't want anything bad to happen to Biden. I want to be able to just be, okay, everybody, we hate this choice, and yet he would beat him again. But his son, this shit with Hunter Biden, the stuff that this rascal's gotten into, and just even if you take away the criminality thing, deal, just there's a quote that I've read many times now where he's sitting, I can't remember who he's sitting next to. Oh, he's sitting next to his father, or at least he says he is. He's on the phone with one of those shady people in China or Ukraine or something. Yeah. And he's the level of privilege in this statement, it's like, if you don't do exactly what I say right now, I'm sitting next to my dad, okay? And if you make me wait, I'm going to be very angry. And I think you're going to really regret it a lot because I have a lot of things I could do to you. I mean, it is just.
Yeah, it's great.
And if Don Jr. had said that, they would just be so all over it. And this is not, it's I don't true. Like Don Jr., but. Come on, can we just judge things by what they are and not what team does them? This made me cringe.
That's why you're important to this world.
Thank you.
Well,
I'll finish your thought.
No, because this is why you're important to this world, because that's exactly what people say when I was telling them I was coming to your show, that you're not only just, but you have, you. This is the shit that people need to hear.
I got
to
say,
but
being,
it's true,
being on
though,
strike,
but it's true, though.
Starting to get a little old, you know?
That's why I don't have writers.
You don't?
No, I don't. I write.
You write everything yourself?
Everything. All this last hour genius, all from me. Everything.
No, but that's different than writing an act.
No.
Really? You write every bit yourself?
Yeah, no, I mean, I really wish. It's funny because I've had people that in the past.
Why?
I don't know. You know why? But I would love to have people that would write that things that would make sense.
You can get that. Put a crowbar in your wallet and hire someone.
I know.
What are you, cheap?
No. I just don't get people that, you know what people write for me? And this is not a joke. So they think, character up, da da da. So if I get people that write for me, I'll say to them, write me some stuff. They'll write like, hey, it's a shoehorn. It's a shoe and a horn. I'm like, that's not what I fucking do. So it really gets annoying that they don't understand how, well, that's.
I get it.
No, but it's
no,
pun.
No, you
it's
know what?
Pun.
Say
it's
no more.
Pun. It's pun.
You know what?
And I don't like that. I wanted something like the podium. Okay. I want the true fall. I want clever. I want like.
You had me at shoe.
You had me at shoe.
Because like, I got it because I have the same thing, but in my world. I mean, I read writer submissions every year and see who's out there. And
but you want the clever
and
shit.
It is astounding how lame it usually is.
Or they think their voices.
Like, really? And of course, you know, they're writing the bits. They have to be somewhat familiar with the show because we're asking them to write samples of how you would write. And I think the show's been on 20 years. If you're a comedy writer and you're not aware of it, you're probably not going to fit for the... I'm sure they're all aware of the show. Maybe they're fans. Maybe they're not whatever. They want the job. And they understand, this is his editorial. So we have to do a sample of that. And here's some monologue jokes. And here's some new rules. And it's like, are you... This is the show you're watching.
See, that's what.
So I'm saying, I understand what you're talking about.
Right. So you're like, they're
people
not.
Can't
so
do,
they comprehend what you send. They think that's they're sending you.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but that's also the good part about it. It's like when you could do something few others can do, then you're going to have a niche in the business.
True. Like, so they submit something for new rules and they should be a little bit on point with what they've seen the show.
When Politically Incorrect was first on, like the first one or two years, and it got a lot of press and, you know, for a minuscule rating, but it was new and fresh and, you know, they loved that in the media. So there was a lot of buzz about it and there started to be some imitation shows, as there always is in TV.
Sure.
And I remember being very agitated about it and worried. And I said to my producer, Scott Carter, at the time, like, oh, my gosh, they're going to steal our show. And he said to me, Bill, we hire people here, and we can't even teach them how to do the show.
Right. Right.
It's like, that's great. You're so right.
It's
they can't
truth.
Steal it because
yeah, they can't.
I'm trying. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It made me feel
No, that's funny. We can't even teach it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're trying to get them to do this show.
It's so funny. But that is crazy.
What?
That's mind boggling. So I don't have any writers because of that. We also met at the Playboy Mansion.
This is why you never got married. You're really going back to
I work too hard. No, I do. I have a dog. I mean, I had a dog.
Because I've used it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, nice. No, I'm not. My hands are not clean here. I've used my work is too important. Excuse me. I am not clean on this at all. I'm just asking you if that's what you're using these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I do work. I do work a lot, and I don't have. I'm very. I am kind of. I just. I don't. Yeah.
You like your alone time.
Yeah, I love my alone time.
I do too.
No, I do. I mean, I know you.
But even, no special
that's why,
lady.
That's why I was asking if you come down here by yourself sometimes, just interview like nobody, just to get away for an hour.
No special lady in your life.
She's in the car right now. Thank God.
In the trunk
of the window. Hope the air is running. Yeah, no special lady.
Did you ever get close?
I was at a hotel last night. Yeah, I was 9 years. We were
married?
No. Oh, we were together.
Together 9 years.
Going to get married, and I didn't want to get married, so I didn't
want
to have children.
That's tough when those long ones break up, right? You know.
But we're best friends now, and I was at a bar, my hotel bar, last night. It was great, and this lady was sitting next to me.
Wait, the hotel bar?
The hotel bar.
You would go to a hotel bar just by yourself?
Well, of course. Why would I not go to a hotel by myself? I'm going to go to one later. My same hotel bar.
Really?
But yeah. And I sat there by myself. Yeah, of course.
You're ballsy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a risk taker. And this lady's next to me for, I don't know, an hour at least. And this guy came in and they wanted people to move down. And he said, this is not a joke. He said, would it be okay if you and your wife moved down a seat? because they wanted another stool.
He thought she was your wife?
The woman that I'd never... So I said, what's that? He said, do you mind if you and your wife would move down a seat? And I said, oh, I don't mind. I said, would you move down a seat? And then she said, what's that? I said, yeah, they think you're... And I made a joke. I said, you know why you think she's my wife? Because we haven't spoken for over an hour. it's just silly to me. But, like, I don't know this woman from Adam.
Right.
And they just assumed there's a woman next to me that should be my wife.
See, you're telling me that you go to a bar with that hair and Marilyn Manson's eyeshadow on, and people just think you're like Al from Cleveland who's married to the person next to you?
Yeah, they do. They do. But I guess. They just assume. I don't know.
I would feel like...
You don't go to a hotel bar by yourself? I don't know.
No,
I would be. I
feel very self-conscious.
No, I go
to be out. No, by myself.
Yeah, I went to Dan Tana's.
I mean, it would.
You know, Dan Tana's, great restaurant, great Americans. No, great. I went there. In fact, you know, my favorite Dan Tana story ever. I'll leave you on this because I know you're like looking for ice.
I'm not going.
I went to Dan Tana's years ago. This is such a wonderful L.A. thing. You know, L.A., there's only L.A. stories, right?
Right.
There's things that happen only in L.A.
Absolutely. In the big city.
Literally, right? So I'm working out at... Well, this is two stories. I'm in Venice Beach at Gold's Gym. This is way back in 1990.
Of course you were.
90. Of course I was. Look at these guns. So I'm on this bench press, but there's no spotter. I don't need a spotter because it's called a Smith machine, so you can...
I know what a Smith machine is. It's called a dumbbell.
So it's like it locks in, right? So you don't have to do it. You have a spotter.
Yes, I know.
So I'm doing the Smith machine.
Yeah, I don't have the giant guns, but I...
Yeah, you do. You have beautiful guns. And you're very lean.
I am very lean. I like lean. I mean, I
lean's
don't know who those...
Lean's,
who are those
lean's
guns
better
for?
Than...
What is it? Is that... So,
these are lean guns.
Like the chicks dig that? Is that why you do that?
Totally love it.
They do?
Yes.
Of course they do.
Okay, they do. They always do like this. And every time a girl touches your arm, you always go like this. Every guy does
you
that.
You don't have to because you got
right.
You're
like, I was going to flinch up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just thinking, and this guy says, let's go five more. Right? Yeah. So I'm working out. And I'm like, I don't need a spotter. I didn't ask for a spotter. I'm just by myself in this stupid gym. And I look up and this guy's over me yelling at me. And I'm like, I'm good. And he's like, let's go five more. So I'm like, fuck.
How presumptuous.
Literally. And I'm thinking, I'm
that
like,
is so
four
ridiculous.
In me, but not five more. So anyway, I'm like, duh, I'm trying to get it up. And this guy's standing over me. This is so weird. He's just standing over me like, he's like, let's go. And I look up and his sweat is dripping off of his forehead. It's hitting my face. Guess who it is?
Stop talking.
John is James Caan.
Jimmy Caan.
So I get done and I'm like, I go, thanks.
God.
And he's like, good job, man. And I was like, that's Jimmy Caan's fucking sweating on me. But so what do you do? Like, you're like, this is the guy from The Godfather. But his sweat is like, you know, in my fake mustache, everything.
Wow.
This is fake. It comes off. Watch.
Man.
That's L.A. Oh, so the Dan Tana's one's great.
Dan Tana's.
Still
a great place.
Right? Still great, right? I'm sitting at this bar one night. I'll be way quicker than the last one. This will be quicker. So this guy next to me says, oh, my God, Carrot Top. And it could have been nicer. Said, where do you, you know, what do you, my family loves you. My whole family loves you. And we've been watching forever. And I was like, Timmy? He's like, no, grew up with you. So he said, what do you owe your success to? And I said, you know, is it luck or is it? I said, well, completely, probably a little bit of everything. Luck and at the right time. But this guy's just really persistent on
You're
me.
You're funny.
But he says,
I'm
a singer, he says to me. I said, oh, you're a singer. I said, oh, cool. He says, you know, with all the connections, do you think it was connections that helped you? I said, well, I don't have connections. I came from a, you know.
It's not connections.
Guess who this guy is? So he keeps going. He's like, yeah, I would just think with my connections, I would have had a little more success. And I said, oh, well, just at a loud dinner eating spaghetti. So I said, well, who'd you? He said, you know, my brother, you know, being president, I said president of like Warner Brother Records, right? So I said, president of what's that?
What year is this?
Warner Brother?
Who's president?
Again,
Who was the president?
Wait, so I said, well, my brother being president and all. So I said, of Warner Brothers? He goes, no, my brother, president. I said, of, and he goes, the United States. And I said, it's fucking Roger Clinton.
Oh, Roger Clinton.
But it's like I'm having a conversation for like 30 minutes with this guy, just eating, no clue, my family loves you, da-da-da.
I was, and I'm like, Roger, I partied with Roger Clinton a couple of times. I was on
he's a nice guy.
I was on a, this is so not me kind of thing to say, but it happened once, so I'm going to say it. I was on a yacht in Cannes during the Cannes Film Festival.
So fucking gay. So you were on a yacht in
1999, and Roger Clinton was on board. Could not have been nicer. I mean, I do understand. Yeah, there was, you know what it was? We were filming Politically Incorrect in London that year in the summer. Okay, that was like a thing you had to do back then is like do a stunt week for ratings week, month. So we went to London. Did not get the guests we were hoping for. Not that I'm holding a grudge 24 years later. Anyway, so I thought as long as I'm in Europe, and then my friend had a yacht. He said, you got to come down. The timing is perfect. Of course, me, the nervous traveler I am, it was not perfect. But okay, I didn't like sleeping on a yacht. The whole thing was not my thing. But Roger Clinton was there. And I can see why the Clintons kind of have a reputation for handsiness. I'll just say that. They're just very friendly men. I saw it with both of them.
Yeah.
You know. It's kind of like the Trump lean-in thing, except the hand actually goes on you.
I tried not to touch you, though.
Yeah. No, you did great.
I did, right? I was you so close fantastic. To touch you.
Yes, absolutely. And that's how it...
People get weird when you do that. People get weird when you do that. If you touch their knee... No, I had to do
that
one time.
No, it's totally right.
People get weird with you. But I'm a touchy guy, so if I touch someone like that, they're like, what the fuck are you touching me?
You're a touchy guy?
I'm very touchy.
Really? I didn't know that.
I was on with the...
So you're a loner who's touchy.
Yeah. I was on the Tonight... First time I
was... You touched with, every night.
Yes. I pay for it. Really? Yeah. There was a lot of prostitutes that hang out at my hotel bar. Literally. And I said to the bartender, I said, you know what? The only reason I got in... No, he said, they're bothering... I said, they're not bothering me. I said, you know, the only reason you get in show business is not to pay for fucking pussy.
Wow.
I said,
that's baller.
No, wait. No, he said, well, that's true.
Yes.
And then he said, really? I said, doesn't mean I might not ever get any, but I'm not going to pay for it. I mean, I could go for years without it, but I'm not going to pay. You know, I might never get laid, but I'm not paying for it. Fuck. What's wrong with you? So why have I gotten show business?
But again, this is another...
And I didn't get it for that. I'm
not
saying
that I
there's
need
one reason to get into it.
Another reason not to go to the bar alone. But if I need another one, you don't want to be like chum in the water for prostitutes in a hotel bar. It's just not a good look.
They don't normally frolic to me.
Not even the prostitutes?
No, they do.
You got to change your hair, man.
No, they do. Yeah, they do. They go, well, that's like, wow, are you like, is that real? Yeah. But, you're staying at the...
But
are they allowed you to
that
stay
every,
here?
I can't believe... You may not... Not everyone who encounters you may be a fan, but I can't... I can't believe...
They're not.
But I can't believe that everyone doesn't know who you are. You're very... Yeah. It's very Mickey Mouse with you. Like, I mean, as a logo.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very... It's just worldwide. We just know the logo. It's like we may have a diminished opinion, which is not right, but we may... I say we.
That might be the most offensive thing I've ever told. It's very Mickey Mouse with you. Fuck? Yes,
it's a
strong brand.
It's a strong, famous brand.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to have.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Everyone, yes, a bane and a boon. A boon bane. So everyone who comes across you, and
yes,
I do mean comes
they come across me.
We're back to the prostitutes in the bar. No. And when you come across a person.
When I come across anybody.
Anyone who comes across you has some opinion. They have some. Like most people who.
Yes, they do.
Most people who see me, I feel like, have no opinion because they don't know who I am. They don't watch the show.
I bet they do.
There's millions and millions who do, but there's many, you know, there's many who just. I'm just some guy in the crowd, which is great. I'm happy about that. But where I feel like it's very different for you. There's Mickey
Mouse.
I'll
be honestly,
opinion of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I honestly believe this. Like the most times people that are aware of me or not aware of me that meet me, it's always a better ending to it. Like they don't, they always have this perceiving.
You can only go up in their opinion.
Well, they always have preconceived, yes. conception of what you are, who you are, and then they meet you, they're like, God, you're so like shy and quiet and not like this crazy guy you run around juggling salt and pepper shakers at the restaurant kind of thing. And you're like, you're actually quiet and talking to the hookers and, you know. But seriously. So it's always usually more like, wow, I didn't know you were such a nice, normal guy. They think
you're
like,
and you're different when you're at your job. Oh my God, you don't sound now like you do when you're ordering pallets.
Right.
Whatever people do for a living, I assume they're ordering pallets of something.
That's a great line.
Yes, I am sure there are people
when you're ordering pallets.
Who work in the industrial adhesive industry who have a voice that is different than the one that when they go out to the club.
Right. It's you're right. Right, though, but people don't know that, though. They don't know. They don't know what to do. Howie Mandel had a funny line, I thought. It was very funny. He was in an elevator in Vegas.
He's a funny guy.
Great guy.
Great and funny.
One of the very nicest people that's ever been, as of you two.
We sat right here, and I to this day, I kind of wish that we could do
it. He was here now?
It's back to my thing about when you're working. We both, had such a great time, like I'm having with you now, but I bet... And I mean, and we got to have dinner, blah, blah, blah. That was like a year and a half ago. I did this podcast because that's work. You're here because it's work. You know, it's hard to get us out of our fucking ruts and whatever we're doing with the prostitutes in the hotel bar. I know that's your business, but.
It's your business.
That's not my business.
Well, it is now.
That would be. That would be.
No, but Howie's a brilliant, sweet from day one. As of you, there's certain people that I've met day one that I admired and loved and just, wow. And he
did you meet always, him with the dick thing too?
No.
Oh.
I met him, no. Nice.
With the That's not like everybody, is it?
Only you.
Here I am.
Only you and I met with
and
the
I
dick.
Find out you only, met 10 other comics that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I'm like a,
oh, wait, you have a nice cock. You have a nice cock.
Yeah.
Oh, Barry Larkin,
everyone
you
has
have a
nice
cock.
No, you were the only one that I saw. And it's not, it was great cock. But I But Howie, I see he did a joke where he gets in an elevator in Vegas and he says, it's so weird. The door's open. He's by himself. And I'm not doing it justice because it's his joke. But he said, the people came on and said, oh my God, aren't you Howie Mandel? And he said, yes, how are you? He says, why aren't you smiling? And he says, how fucking weird would that be if the doors opened and the door's open? He goes he's standing there like, and it just made me laugh because I'm like, you're right, because people always just see me.
Why don't you
are you okay? You seem
why don't
depressed.
You have that glove on your head?
Yeah.
That's in your closing.
Yeah, you just
bit.
Seem depressed. Where's your props? Why are you not happy?
I'm
sitting at a bar. Okay.
But here's the thing to remember about this discussion. Mm. Okay?
Ready? Taking this.
Woody Allen made an interesting movie in 1980 called Stardust Memories. Mm. You remember it?
I do.
Okay. And it's about a comic who, sees his audience as something beneath him. They may not, and I think what has served us well is never seeing our audience that way. Yes, they don't get our business the way we don't get the pallets business.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're dumber. And you can't.
I don't.
And Woody Allen's movie was rather condescending. I mean, he was such a big star, bigger than we've ever been at the time. So I'm sure there was always people, but it was this same kind of thing. People coming at him saying things that seem ridiculous and are very trying for you to try to answer and respond to and, you know. But he did not do himself, I always thought, favors by making that movie about that subject.
True.
As honest, it was honest. You know, it's like, hey, this is how I really feel. I'm a big movie star now, and I got all these fucking idiots coming at me all the time saying the most stupid crazy crap you can believe and have to put up with it. But it's like, yeah, but you're a movie star. So right. You do have to put up with it. So shut the fuck up and make a movie about something else. Right. That's what I kind of can't avoid.
No, and you're dead on with that.
I would never want to fall in that trap. It's also not how I was raised. Right. Like, my father, my mother were very disappointed if I was ever, like, condescending to people that. Especially since...
We both were raised the same way, probably.
Really? I thought your father was a redneck.
No, but very strict and shit. My dad would... Yeah, I was scared of my father. Scared to death. Yeah.
Well, I was not... I would not say.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, scared in a sense of, like, he was, you know, no-nonsense thing, where nowadays...
Yeah.
There's no discipline. Were. Shit.
I was the proper amount scared of my father.
I was scared to tell him I was going to be a comedian.
What?
I was scared to tell him I was going to be a comedian. Like... They just didn't understand.
I was not scared. I was embarrassed. That's why I never told them. Yeah. Until I was one.
Well, okay. Very similar.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't embarrassed, but I was,
I was, easily embarrassed as a kid, and especially about that subject of, what are you going to do with your life? And it just seemed so presumptuous. we did not have the kind of self-esteem that kids... came to obtain later in our history. Yeah. And the idea that I would tell people, I'm going to be a comedian, so I just thought it would set me up for ridicule. And like, oh, yeah, sure you are. And I even heard them saying that. I remember at the Christmas party the first year when I had to tell them at some point because I was actually living in New York hanging out at the clubs. Yeah. So I just kind of mumbled it, I'm hanging out at the clubs, I'm going to be a comedian. And God bless them. They didn't like push it or, they just were like, okay, we're not going to embarrass him by like, oh, you're getting on or what's it like or how do you, what's the ETA on you being a star?
Right.
They just let it happen and let me just shut up about it. And but I was embarrassed. I mean, I was embarrassed the whole first few years when I was a failure, when, I was failing. Because you have to fail before you succeed. And it's embarrassing being a loser with nothing.
Right.
Going on in your life.
Sure.
It's very...
I was always killing it. I never failed.
Come on. Did you?
No.
Were you?
No, I ate shit. There was one time in New York City, speaking of the club scene, I went to New York when I was living in Charlotte, starting out, and I have
Charlotte. Why'd you move to Charlotte?
Because there was a guy that owned these clubs that ran a... So he said, you come here, you can work for a year, and booked for a year. So I said, okay. I met a girl and got a condo and... And stayed in Charlotte first credit card, first everything.
Yeah.
But the guy, and I hope he's watching your show, because you probably know him. I went on Catch a Rising Star in New York City. It was snowing. Took a cab with all my stupid props. This is literally, like, it's 20 years old, and I'm snowing outside, going to the club. There's, like, nobody in there. They bring me up. Never played a real club in New York City. And it was the worst ever in my life. I remember I remember my first line was, I have more props than people, because it was like four people and I had like 20 props and two were good, And I get done. And it wasn't even a beginning or an ending. It was just horrible. And I get done and I had to pick up all my shit and put it back in the thing. And Dennis Leary walks on, and I've never been able to tell him to this day. He was the sweetest guy in the world to me. He says, that was fucking brilliant. And I was like, I thought he was mocking me. He said, that was brilliant. And I said, thank you. What part of it was? He said, dude, like, did you write all this? And it was like, it was weird jokes, like a paper.
He was the MC?
No, he came up to close the show. He closed it and killed.
So he was playing to four people at that time?
Yes. But only because it was like, it wasn't his night.
What year is this?
Oh, God. 80 something, 90, maybe 1990. It wasn't his night. He just showed up to do a set.
I guess I think it closed in 93.
Okay, so it was before then.
I was there. I was the MC there. You know, okay. That was my place.
Okay, Catch a Rising Star.
Started there in 79 to 82. That was my...
All right. It was that club. Every day.
That was my life, Catch a Rising Star. Yeah. The owner, Rick Newman.
Yes, I know Rick.
And Belzer, who was my mentor there. They died one day apart in February. One day
Belzer
apart.
Belzer was fucking nice as me, too. Love. He was so nice to me. There's, there's only a handful of comics that had ever been nice to me, by the way. Just literally. And I say handful, literally, like big names, none. No, big names, none. They're all benefit.
So what happened with the...
He just came out and he said it was brilliant. I remember like wanting to not just kill myself, but like get, you know, not in comedy. I'm not in comedy. This is...
Right.
Like literally, like this woke me up like I needed to fucking go back to Florida, whatever. And he said... That was what I did was brilliant. I remember him saying my ad. It was a good joke. At one point, George Carlin said it was a good joke. It was a paper cup and string prop that I had. You know, the phone with the paper cups and string. I said, they never made a new version. They should have one for like today's kids. And this is again in the 90s. So I said, hey, what's going on? Not much. And I handed it to somebody, what's going on? Hey, you sound so close. And we talk. And I had a third cup for call waiting that came out of it. And George Carlin was like, that's a fucking great joke.
It is.
Right. It is clever.
It's clever.
And then I had three cups. It was conference calling. And then I had a clear cup for call waiting. I see you're on the phone. I see it's you. So anyway.
You are a...
But Dennis Leary said that was brilliant. So anyway, he saved me from killing myself and not getting out of comedy that night.
Now, in an alternative universe, much the way Jerry Lewis was considered a genius in France and... is kind of a genius, Jerry Lewis.
I know him real well.
Yeah, really?
Ooh.
But I feel like...
I visit him in his hospital room.
What? No, why? Because he was in Vegas and you were in Vegas?
They invited
him. Where would you see him?
In his hospital room. They invited him.
No, but where would you see him before he was in his hospital?
At the telethons.
You did his telethon from
Vegas.
Thousands
of times.
Thousands of times?
Not thousands. 30 times.
Really? 30 years of the telethon?
No, let me see exactly the right year. All right, 20.
Because it's
20. Because I was there 28, I've been there 28 years. So I did at least 20 of them. And Ed McMahon was my buddy too, and he'd bring me up in that
right.
2 days. But when Jerry, they invited me to go they asked me if I would go see him at the hospital. And I said, of course I would. How would I not pass up an opportunity to sit? But it's just me and him, like in this couch. And I walked in, and he would sit in his hospital. And the weird thing about Jerry Lewis is when you meet him, you know, visit him in his hospital room with all the nurses and like a normal hospital visit day, he was nonstop shtick. Like, dude, like the nurse coming, he would do probably the same joke, killed every time.
I mean,
and then he'd turn around and go, put his teeth in.
No one was ever more dedicated to getting the laugh.
Right, and he's entertaining me
at
2 in the afternoon.
Can I tell you a secondhand Jerry Lewis story? It's not my story. It's my friend Hiram Kasten.
Can we have him tell it?
And I know he would probably tell it better. But he told me this years ago, and I don't doubt one word of it. He said he's getting on a plane, first class, and Jerry Lewis is on the plane. And he's like right across him, the like first row. But he's on this side of the plane, Jerry's on the other side of the plane, but there's nobody in between them. So Jerry's there. So he goes before the plane takes off. Hiram goes over and says hello and, you know, kisses the ring, and Jerry's cool. Does his joke that he always did, I'd like you to show you my pride and joy. And then
he pulls out the fucking wall with the
picture of pride and joy.
Yeah. So
bathroom products.
Yes.
Okay. Why this genius thought that was worth
repeating a billion times?
I have no idea.
Put that one away.
Like, okay, but he's very nice. Hiram goes back to his seat, and Hiram says, "I'm thinking, you know, I really want to look over. The plane takes off. I mean, it's Jerry Lewis. I just want to stare at him, but I'm going to be cool, and I'm just not going to be that guy." So he's looking. He's reading his book. He says he waits like a half hour before he looks over. And when he does, Jerry is looking at him with the headphone twisted around in front of his face.
That's brilliant.
And waited all that time.
That's the best part.
As big a star as he is.
Right.
For the guy to turn around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a maniacal hunger for a laugh.
Yes, that's Jerry Lewis. That's, we would do that. We probably, have you ever, how many times have you done that? How many times have we've waited for a bit?
Never.
Really?
Waste a half hour of my life getting a laugh from nobody on a plane?
I've done that. Yeah, no.
I wouldn't even be on a plane.
No.
I'm
you're
a
right.
snob.
But that's how we're different. One time we had an opening act go up in the thing, and I said, when he comes off, we had the feed on so we could hear him. So I said, we're all going to be in my room, in my bar, like this. Sleeping, and so we're like waiting, and we're waiting, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Okay, good night." We're like waiting, and then he went somewhere else. We're like, "God damn it!" We're all waiting for like 10 minutes.
You know what?
For the stupid fucking punchline.
I saw almost the same thing. You remember Jeff Altman?
Absolutely, open for him.
Funny, yeah, really. You know,
a butt steak.
Such a funny guy.
Great funny guy.
So
he hated me. By the way.
Really? Why?
Because I don't know. I did good, and he.
Okay.
We made up.
I get it.
We met up.
I know this.
But I love.
I know the syndrome. Say no more. I know the syndrome. Yeah. But I we were not close. But for some reason, I remember this.
He's still around.
I think so. Yeah. Probably the 90s. But for whatever reason, we were together that night, and we were walking with two girls. I remember that. I don't know. I don't know if we knew them before. This is so long ago. On Sunset Boulevard. Like, we're walking a long way, like from one, like the kind of, I always say, if I write a memoir, it's going to be called Who Was in My Body? The things I did, and it must have been me, but it really wasn't, but it was my body. And we're walking and walking and walking. And Jeff Altman, out of the blue, like without explanation, just starts tearing down the street. At 100 miles an hour, as fast as he could run, until we couldn't see him anymore. And that was funny in itself.
Right, and that alone, but he really doing this.
That's funny in itself, yeah. Right? And we, like, literally out of sight, he ran so far.
We've already paid the tab, Jeff.
And we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're laughing about it, and probably got onto another subject because it had been so long. And then we look. At one point to the left, and there's
waiting for a gag where he's got the.
He's like he's passed out in the doorway of some place on the steps.
Right. So he's waiting for the. He did all that for that. That's funny though. God bless
can
him.
You, I mean, again,
that's I know, but why?
I
right.
Cannot,
but it's, but you're talking about. So it was funny.
Not only did can I not compete, I don't want.
I want to compete, but that is pretty funny. But I like that he did that.
I do too.
That's funny.
Oh,
he ran so long, and then he just
waited.
Walked up, and he's like
passed out. He could have been. Somebody could have seen him
literally,
there.
Probably, yeah, really fuck with him. But he's waiting for the joke.
I mean,
that's funny.
It is a dedication.
That's funny. A dedication
to the laugh.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis did that forever.
Yes, you got to give it up for that.
He came to my show, and I don't. No,
Jerry did.
Yeah, and right before he died. Now this
Betty loved it.
Again, this is strange because as many times as you know, you and I talk about, you just talked way earlier about, you know, we're not going to come see you, whatever. You know, we're working.
Yeah.
So I always see him, and he always says, I'm coming to your show, kid. So I said, no, yeah, fuck you. No, tomorrow. So I saw him at a movie premiere he did, his last movie he did. And so I said, I'm coming tomorrow. So I said, okay. So I said, my friend, I think Jerry Lewis is coming tomorrow. And sure as shit, he fucking not only showed up, he came back. He's in a wheelchair. And they sat him down in my little backstage bar like this. And he sat down and he said, it couldn't have been fucking cooler. He's like, all the years of the telethon. I said, you remember the one? He doesn't remember this. So as a comic, when I did the telethon 1 year, he's out there and Jerry's kind of cranky. And there's a video comes in. They give this guy this note and he says, he reads it and he says, oh, fuck. So Ed McMahon is standing next to me. And he walks out and Jerry says, before we continue, this kid passed away today. And they show there's a picture of the kid. And it just happened. They put the footage up. You know how fast it happened. Tell it. Put the picture of the kid up. And he tells the story. Now, Jerry Lewis is crying. Like, fully crying. Legitimately crying. And then shows videos him with him last week and then whatever the fuck. So I'm like, what am I doing? So Ed McMahon's standing there with my microphone. And he says, am I going up now? And he said, maybe. And I said, he's not going to do that to me, would he? He says, well, he might. dead silent in the studio. And he says, so we're going to miss you, Timmy. I was crying. He's swearing my life, my God. And he says, now, if anyone here can cheer anybody up, Carrot Top. And I swear my fucking life, he hands me the mic and I walk out.
Doesn't get
any
worse.
And it's horrible of course. The first 2 minutes. And then I do okay. I never did great.
Right.
And I walk off and I'm still more distraught than anybody. And he says, and Jerry Lewis comes over to me after I'd been done and he said, I'm sorry I did that to you, but you're the only one that I could count on to take the spot.
Wow, that's great.
But it was horrible. And I told him that backstage the night he came. And he said, I did that? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, did it make you stronger? I said, yeah, it did. I mean, it really did.
Yeah.
So then he says, all right, what time does your show start? I said, 10 minutes. And he says, 10 minutes? Jesus Christ. I'd be throwing up in 10 minutes. Aren't you ready? I said, well, I don't know it by now. Fuck.
Right.
I'm going to let you go. You want to do the picture thing? And I said, I didn't want to ask you. I said, that'd be great. And he says, let's do the picture thing. So we do the picture. It's a great picture of him and I. I still have it framed backstage. And so we help him get up. And I see my opening act and my assistant stand there. And he says, is it okay if I get one to my opening act? And he's standing there in his wheelchair, trying to get his wheelchair. He says, what's that? And he's saying, is it just cool, one more? And Jerry Lewis stops. He says, if it's the last fucking picture I ever take, yes. And it's like, but he did take the picture, but isn't that great? I mean, imagine how many people stop him for a picture, though.
When Jerry was riding high, I mean, there was very few careers like that. And, I mean, his ego was out of control, but I kind of get why. He was kind of the king. And he also was, the greatest Nutty Professor is his peak, right?
Yeah.
1963,
absolutely.
Eddie Murphy remade it, did very well with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to me, it was truly Jerry. I mean, he was this, like, Buddy Love. When he takes the formula and he turns into Buddy Love. And, he's got the slick back hair.
Yeah, no, he's handsome and he's...
And
yeah,
the way he picks up Stella Stevens.
Yeah.
Slide over, honey.
Yeah, that was real.
Mr. Love, you're rude. I could give you a line of bullshit, kid? But I know that would insult you and stop us from having another fine moment. And he gives her this spiel, and he was Buddy Love, because he really was that, as Jerry Lewis, a very attractive, giant producer. And he also was the nutty, and he was, game lady!
Yeah, he had the whole thing.
And
he was brilliant.
At that moment, it worked. Yeah. And he, like all those guys, they took advantage of Vegas. I mean, I don't know if you were, it didn't seem to me like you're really taking advantage of, but I guess that, like you say, that doesn't exist anywhere. And you don't gamble, right?
No.
You don't gamble?
Nope, never once.
That's
literally.
Good. Yeah, if you live in Vegas, that's probably good.
Yes, that's what I always say. Probably not good. But people ask me all the time, every time a thing comes up, they say, where's the new Rat Pack? And I said, it's a different generation. Like, I still know Wayne Newton.
Right.
I know these people. I know David Copfield.
Yeah, but
we're not going to hang out and have...
No,
we might have sushi together or something, but we're not going to...
No.
We're not going to meet every night for a show and have drinks.
No.
And then go do their show.
Right.
And they're going to come do my show.
Right.
No. No. Ron White, was the last guy that came to my show and came on stage, and that was great. He said, hey, and I said, Ron White. Ron is fucking brilliant. So Ron comes up, and I just said, and my crowd went fucking batshit crazy because it's Ron White, and he told a joke, and the crowd went nuts, and even he said something at the end like the new Rat Pack, and I remember thinking, it's not though, but it was a fun moment.
And now we're too old to start a Rat Pack.
No.
I'm 67. We could do a
Rat
Pack.
Be napping right now.
We could do a Rat Pack, but we're going to do it like once a week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every Monday. right. Yeah, exactly.
But let's do
it. At noon.
All right. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
As I knew it would be.
Yeah.
Club.
How much did it exceed your expectation on a scale of 9 to 10.
More than I thought is very catty.
Exactly.